Okay, do we like to talk about money or not? That's all you ever do, Jovan.
I love talking about money.
Do you? I know. Well, sometimes it scares people, come tax time and all that sort of thing.
It does. It can be intimidating.
I agree. And there's that pressure to make sure that you keep yourself employed and to meet your commitments. You want to have a home, you've got a mortgage to pay, and there's a slight chance of interest rates going up again.
Yeah, there's a good chance. You also probably want to have some fun occasionally and usually need money to do that too.
What makes you think of that?
No, just you need money for everything. It's
well, you do to live.
Yeah, you can't get a stick of gum if you're 5 cents short.
Yeah, I know. It's pretty heavy on people wanting their money in payment time, don't they? Jovan Švetkovský is with us.
Yep.
And from Knight Group, he's a financial advisor and one of the directors. And Adam, hello. Put your head over a bit closer. Hello, Adam.
Hello there.
Hello, and you're Pontague.
Pontague.
That's I missed that bit before.
Very close.
Okay. Now, your reason Jovan's brought you in, that you might pop in occasionally.
Yeah, correct.
Okay. And what are you expert at, making money for people or advising them to not spend as much?
I look a bit of both of that, actually, yes.
Do you?
Yeah, I do a bit of both.
Been
yeah.
involved with finance for a long time?
Correct, for 12 years now.
Okay, you've got it right. How long have you been involved, Jovan?
19 years.
Okay.
20 soon.
Okay. You don't ever get sick of it. It's good to know.
No. It hasn't aged me either. I don't look too weathered, I don't think.
You've got this.
No, you look great, mate.
Last week you came in with a puppet on your hand because you broke a finger. Over-enthusiastic with your mates on a Friday night. Revealing all secrets. And now the bandage is gone, but you've got this rather gruesome-looking black skin glove on the hand. You look like you could get away with murder.
Yeah, I look like maybe the one-armed man from that movie The Fugitive with Harrison Ford.
Very true. Now, this is interesting, the topic. And in fact, if anyone wants to call you, 948-41927, if they've got a question about this topic or anything else, being
anything.
Tax time. Actually, I was going to have a tax expert come down from Curtin in the near future. It will be talking about AI. People are going to that a lot, and it's maybe not always a good idea.
Yeah, look, it's still in its infancy. It will become very good. But often with AI, it's about knowing how to use it as much as it is using it itself. You know, you have to know what to ask it. You have to be confident. You have to be able to understand the output it's giving you.
If you are getting incorrect information, innocently, let's say that, and you submit your taxation return, are the tax department capable of finding out whether that is accurate or not?
Yeah, of course they are. They've got the rules behind them and they apply them.
Okay, well, I've noticed that. Okay, let's have a look today. What is SMSF?
Yeah, so an SMSF is a self-managed super fund. So today's topic is whether a self-managed super fund is right for you. And I guess the first thing when talking about anything is to just define what it is exactly we're talking about.
Well, I think you should explain it.
Yeah, so a self-managed super fund, it is your own private fund.
What did you decide from day one to set up how you want to invest your money?
Yeah, you can.
Right?
Yeah, that's right. Okay. So it can have up to 6 members. You can call it whatever you like as long as that name's not taken.
What do you mean? Can I just keep interrupting?
Sure, of course you can. I'd love you to do that.
Because I have to make sure that I understand that our listeners do. When you say 6 members, are you talking about a joint self-managed fund?
Yeah, well, usually it's husband and wife.
Oh,
but it can be husband and wife and brother of husband and his wife, or it can be kids.
So
it can be a family grouping, but usually it's 2 people and usually they're a couple.
And usually if it's a group like that, people put their money into a pool.
That's right. It's pooled.
Right.
And, you know, like if you started one, Jenny, you might just call it the Seton Super Fund.
Okay, I'd like some.
Yep. Mm.
Okay, but if you do have other family members, there are considerations, aren't there?
Look,
you have to agree on what you're doing.
You have to agree on, I guess, strategies going forward and who's got control.
You need somebody within the group that really know what they're doing.
Yeah, look, often, not always. So sometimes people, you know, self-managed is how it sounds. You know, the buck stops with you and you're ultimately responsible. But in practice, most people with self-managed super funds, they actually hire someone like Adam or myself to look after the investment strategy.
I get that.
Yeah.
But they have to know what to invest in. How do they start up in sort of looking into that, I suppose.
Yeah, look, a lot of the time it's curiosity and wanting to take control or do something specific. So the way a self-managed super fund works is every person or member of the fund has to be a trustee or a director of the company that is the trustee for the super fund.
How do they do that? They set it up, do they?
Yeah, you set it up. So generally what happens is a company is set up that acts as the trustee for your own super.
They start a company if they haven't got one.
That's right.
And they get an ABN.
That's right. And a tax file number.
How come I know so much?
Yeah, it sounds like Seton Super's somewhere in the wings.
No. I've just been listening to you for so long. Okay, so they need advice as to set up a company, I suppose.
Yeah, usually you go see an accountant who does self-managed super, and it might cost a couple $1,000s to set up. You know, it's the same as any other super fund. The purpose of it is to grow money for retirement. The difference is you're the one steering the ship.
I know, but what I'm getting at is it's probably best to know that somebody that's going to steer the ship knows what they're doing.
That's right. Yeah, it's not for someone who is not confident with their finances.
Yeah, so they need to have a bit of a background there. What about the age? I'm not talking about older age people, but what about younger people? Is there an age limit?
Look, there's no real age limit. It's 18 and above from memory. You know, you have to be, might even be 16, but don't quote me on that.
But they wouldn't have much money at 16.
No, but sometimes the parents add children as members, so they can free ride off the parents.
Have you known any of your clients actually doing this?
It's very rare. I've got one.
Okay, well, why are you talking about it?
It's just to let people know you can have up to six members, but generally it's two. It's a good point.
It's a good point. I'm just wondering if that one person that you know in that group have actually been successful.
I will say yes. No, look, most people set them up.
Fair enough.
For control and flexibility. So you choose the investments, not a fund manager.
Yeah.
Often people set them up because they want to, you can actually, with a self-managed super fund, buy your own business premises. So a lot of dentists, doctors, people with commercial warehouses, they will leverage their super to buy
what
a
do you mean,
property.
How do you mean leverage it?
They can borrow money inside the super fund.
Oh.
Yeah.
If they're credible, if they've got a assets and so on.
Yeah, of course. The bank will assess it on its merits. But
so is that good for small business too?
It can be fantastic because, you know, you might be looking, as a small business, let's say you are a dentist, you might be looking at purchasing some practice rooms. And you'll sit there and go, well, I want to be here for the next 20 or 30 years practicing dentistry. I want to buy these rooms. There's various ways I can do it. Oh, I've got a pile of super over here with my partner.
Yeah.
I can leverage off that and buy it in my super fund. And then my business can lease the premises off my own fund at a market rate.
Got to be a Rhodes Scholar to understand all this. when you say, can they borrow from a bank?
Yes, or lending? From the bank.
Okay, is what I'm saying. Because they've got asset there with that money
in the
pool.
Yep, and they're buying an asset, so you can. So that's one of the other reasons. And look, one of the big reasons people do it is the running costs of a self-managed super fund are fixed. It's a flat dollar amount rather than a percentage fee of your super.
Okay.
So it can be very attractive for people who have larger balances in super.
Mm-hmm. Mm. So if people think about this, other than the one person you know.
I've got plenty of people who have self-managed super funds. It's just they're almost exclusively two members.
In fact,
we've got 400. We've got quite a lot, but it's very rare that there's more than two members.
If they are currently in a big super fund and they want to pull it out, is that difficult to do?
No, not at all. It's pretty straightforward. If you thought a self-managed super fund was something you wanted to pursue, you set one up and then you basically roll over your existing super into a bank account that you've set up or a structure for your self-managed super fund.
Yeah. Can you have strangers part of that? Could you sort of put it out there that if somebody's got enough money and they're willing to...
Technically you could, but why would you?
No, well, it depends on their background and their experience. But is it just the one person or is it a conglomeration of ideas as to where they want to invest?
Generally, what I find with self-managed super funds, there's a need. Someone wants more control. They want tax benefits. Maybe they want to buy a business premises.
Oh, I get what you're
saying. And usually they go to their accountant and say, look, what are my options?
Yeah.
And this gets floated. And you know, the client might think, well, that's a good idea, but I don't have the expertise. I understand what you're saying, but I need you and someone else to go run with it and do it for me.
Okay, well, I would be doing that sort of thing. Mm. Okay, can I look at what it costs? And you just touched on it, but we'll go into more detail with that. 2026 figures, legally mandated minimum balance. What do you mean by that?
Oh, look, so what it means is there's no... The ATO regulates self-managed super funds. Every other fund in Australia is regulated by APRA. So the ATO does not say you must have a minimum amount to start one.
So what would be an absolute minimum, do you reckon?
Look, I honestly think unless you've got a specific reason, you should have $500,000 or more.
Oh, my gosh, that's not minimal. that's a fair amount. But everyone's pooled, haven't they, their money in there?
Well, husband and wife, potentially.
Oh, okay.
And so it's a lot easier to get there than often people think.
Okay.
So, you know, the Self-Managed Super Fund Association, they sort of say, well, 200,000 to start one. But look, I think 500's a better number.
Okay. Yeah. Good luck to people that have got that. Now, accounting and tax return, mandatory annual audit, these are costs, are they?
Yeah. So generally a self-managed fund, it costs probably $1,000 to $2,000 to set up. And then the fixed running costs are an accounting fee to do the tax returns.
Oh, okay.
Because a self-managed super fund, it's like a person. It lodges a tax return and has financials. And that would cost around $3,000 to $3,500.
So you're still in front if you're doing well.
Yeah, so it depends where your super is currently. And then effectively there's an independent audit as well, which usually costs around $550 to $700. So the ongoing running costs of a self-managed super fund, typically $3,500 to $4,000. And that's where it can become attractive if someone is truly self-managing. And by that, I mean they're doing it all themselves because they have the expertise. But often there is fees on top of that for someone, you know, like an advisor. An advisor might say, well, okay, you've bought the business premises. Now there's extra cash in there.
Yeah.
And they go, I'm not confident with shares. I need a strategy. And you might get charged a fixed or a percentage-based fee
are
for
the
that.
Costs that are involved with this, are they a tax deduction?
To the fund, yeah. Well, not all the costs.
No, okay.
Some of them are.
Okay.
Life insurance, if you've got in there, is a deduction, for example.
Okay. Mm. Well, that is interesting. On balance size, what do you mean by that?
Oh, that was just talking about, you know,
the
how...
amount.
Yeah, the amount. Because
okay.
A lot of people... The reason we're talking about this is I did notice in media, social media, let's say, there was a lot of self-managed super fund advertising.
Why would they be doing that? That's a business.
I don't know. There's just, well, in just in on Instagram, on Facebook, there was a lot of advertising for people to start up self-managed super funds.
But who's doing that, I wonder?
I don't know. And that's why I'm talking about it. It's really just to inform people out there that, you know what, it's not a good idea to start one with $100,000 unless you've got a very, very specific reason. So we're trying to save people some grief, essentially.
Okay. Well, it's darn decent of you, actually, Giovanni. Terry, good afternoon.
Hi, Terry.
Oh, hi. Hello, guys. Just a quick question with the superannuation, a little bit off what you're talking about now, but I've had the same superannuation with the said company forever and ever. I got a notification to say that they had rolled over to $22,000 to an obscure superannuation fund that I had no idea of. So it's being looked at the moment, but one is saying that there was approved by some sort of tax authority. I'm just wondering how often that happens, if it's a total scam or
goodness,
how that could possibly happen.
Yeah, look, it sounds to me like you have got a super fund that either no longer exists or there was a small balance in there that was inactive. $22,000 doesn't sound too small to me. And perhaps it's been rolled over into something called the ATO super fund. So the ATO has like a holding account where often small super balances or inactive super balances are transferred to, or if a super fund provider was to go bust in terms of they're no longer around but the money's there, they might have transferred that to the ATO. So it sounds to me like one of two things. Your money's been transferred to the ATO's super fund, which is still your money. You just got to claim it.
Wouldn't you know that, though? Wouldn't they say that?
Well, it sounds like there's a letter that's come from the ATO, potentially.
Oh, okay.
Yeah.
I get you. Okay.
Or it would be that the fund has changed, your existing fund has changed name or been bought out by a bigger fund, and it's gone into their new fund.
Well, she should be informed of the information.
Yeah, look, I would just call your current fund and maybe call the ATO as well. That's the first two things I would do and say, look, what's going on?
Can you do that, Terry? You there, Terry? She's shocked.
No, I think, I don't know.
I went on mute for a second.
Oh.
Neither of those things actually happened. I sent a text message saying that the rollover had happened, and if it wasn't me to touch base with them, which I did,
yep.
And they said, oh, no, it's all been approved. There's nothing at the tax office. I've only had the one superannuation fund for, 60 years, and I've got no idea how that possibly should happen.
Yeah, that's odd, because normally the super fund can't roll money out without your approval.
Who should you call?
Well, it might be worth calling the Super Complaints Tribunal just to see what's going on, because it sounds dodgy to me.
Yeah, it does.
It is dodgy, and just out of interest, they give them 45 days before they need to respond to me. And that's the company that receives the rollover and the superannuation fund that released it. So just something for people to be aware of.
They didn't say what fund it was going into at all?
Yeah, they did. And I rang them and they've never heard of me.
Oh, there you go.
Yeah, it sounds like it could be a scam.
Oh, that's horrible. You don't want to hear that, do you?
No, we don't. But still, it's just something you thought your superannuation was safe. So,
can she get that money back? Can someone be responsible for that or not?
Yeah, there is a government compensation scheme that might make you whole if you can't get the money back.
Because you do
have Super Complaints Tribunal and government compensation schemes. And just on that point, in a self-managed super fund, those things are actually limited.
Even so, it doesn't matter. It's happening to people.
Give us a call in 45 days or 50 days, Terry. Let us know how it went.
I certainly will. I look forward to giving you a call.
I'll be interested.
Yes. Thank you for letting us know. We really appreciate it. Thank you. Gee, that's scary stuff.
Mm-hmm.
Getting a notification you've lost $22,000.
Yeah, it sounds like someone's made an unauthorised transaction somewhere.
How did they get to it?
That's
especially a super.
A rarity, I would think.
Yeah. We don't want to hear about that. Thank you, Jovan.
Thank you very much, Jenny.
Okay, have you got a voice to that puppet hand?
I just go quack, quack, because it looks like a duck.
It does. Good to see you. And lovely to meet you, Adam.
You too. Thank you.
Thank you for joining us. Okay, bye for now.